Now, in our life hack segment today, I want to revisit a topic that was raised during Wendy Nola's consumer segment a week or two ago. You may recall, if you were listening that day, we were talking about airbag safety in cars and how it impacts installation of car seats, etc. And I made the comment, we were talking about the installation of infant car seats in particular, and I made the comment that if you have ever witnessed a crash test, simulation test, or seen a video of it, you will know what happens to an unrestrained child when a car comes to a sudden stop, as happens in an accident. You will never, ever, ever again take the risk of having a child in your car who is not properly restrained if you have seen that. And I had a listener mail me afterwards saying, what does actually happen? I haven't ever seen footage like that. Can you explain? And then I also had a mail later that day from our listener Gordon in PE, who wrote in to say the following. I often see front seat passengers holding babies or toddlers on their laps. I have many times over the years tried to engage politely with the passenger or driver to explain the danger, and I'm usually sworn at or told to mind my own business. But I was with PG Autoglass for almost 20 years, and I know from studies that were done by the autoglass industry that in the event of a head-on collision, all loose objects are propelled forward at a minimum of 60 kilometers per hour. The obvious repercussions for a baby or child held in the loving parent's arms are huge. They would be smashed against or go through the windscreen or be severely injured if an airbag is deployed. Please, could you use your program to help ensure better awareness? And Gordon, I couldn't agree with you more. We're very happy to help do exactly that today. Always a pleasure to have Leighton Geard of the Automobile Association on with us on the show. And I know that he has been privy over the years to many car safety test crash simulations and crash test dummies, etc. So has a very, very good idea of what does actually happen. Leighton, thank you for being willing to join us to chat about it today. Welcome back.
Thanks, Pippa, and thanks to Gordon for raising this issue.
Yeah, absolutely, Gordon. You can't talk about it enough, because as long as there is one parent out there who doesn't realise the risk, we haven't done the job. I mean, Leighton, we don't all have physics degrees, and we don't need to have a physics degree to know the precise measurements and metres per second and application of force, etc. But suffice to say that a child who is not restrained in a car becomes a fast-moving projectile in the event of an accident, don't they?
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think it was very interesting in your intro that you mentioned Wendy, because she was with us at one of our crash tests that we conducted in Munich in 2019 or 2020. Yeah. And you know, when you in that facility and you actually witness the crash test, there's nobody in the vehicle. Obviously, they've just got dummies. It's a very sterile environment. But the moment of impact, I mean, it's in some instances it's quite emotional because it's a huge force. And when you look at the back seat dummies, which are a 3-month-old and a 3-year-old dummy, and the impact of the force of that crash on them, that is going at 64 kilometers an hour, so certainly not a very high speed. And you see what happens to those dummies, it gives you a huge jolt, Papa. I mean, yeah. At the moment of impact, you're absolutely correct. That baby is going to weigh hundreds and hundreds of kilograms traveling at 60 kilometers an hour at that moment of impact. And if you are a parent who is holding that baby on your lap and you think you are going to stop that child from going through the windscreen, you are sorely mistaken. And I think to Gordon's point as well, one of the most worrying things you find is that parents are actually sitting on the front seat and they themselves are strapped in, they have their seatbelts on, but their babies are simply sitting on their lap. And you may be the world's best driver, but there are other drivers on the road, and a crash may happen at any time. Yeah. And you will regret for the rest of your life the fact that you didn't do anything better for your child in that circumstance.
Absolutely. You know, Leighton, I was chatting in the news break to our gardening expert, Cherise Fulyun, and with her permission, I'm just going to relay the story she told me. When Cherise was younger, in her teens, she was involved in an incident in which a car hit a pole. She was seated in the middle of the back seat. She didn't have a seatbelt on. And she said her memory of the event is very, very limited, of the actual moments of the crash. What she knew was that she came to back on the back seat with a gigantic gash across her forehead. And that gash was from her having hurtled forward, hit the rearview mirror and bounced back again. In the matter of a split second, she said she wasn't even aware of having moved in space and time. And you know, she's probably lucky that it was there because it stopped her going through the windscreen. But that is how quickly it can happen, so quickly that she wasn't even aware of how she moved in that moment. But it really demonstrates, Leighton, you might think My baby only weighs a kilogram or two. It's the easiest thing in the world to restrain them with my arm. I do it all the time if I'm sticking my arm out to stop them from crawling over a stair, etc. But the forces that are being applied by in the moment of the accident are very, very different to that scenario.
No, 100%. I mean, it's almost you know, if you've got a 10 kilogram child on your lap, and you're traveling at 60 k's an hour, that kid is going to weigh 600 kilograms at the moment of impact. That's pretty much the force that you're looking at, and nothing is going to stop that child. The only thing that is going to prevent a serious fatality is if that child is in a proper child restraint system, a car seat. Obviously, if they are young and they're on the front seat, it's facing to the back. You know, if the airbag does deploy, it's going to hit the back of that. And if they are on the back seat, that, you know, they're either in a child restraint or they are wearing a seatbelt and on a booster seat. But I mean, I think you and I, and you know, the example that you mentioned, I know many of them. I have a friend who was effectively scalped by the rearview mirror because exactly the same thing happened to him.
Yeah.
So, you know, we hear of all these stories. And the message needs to get out to parents that if you have a child, value that child, be responsible and do the right thing and put that child in a child seat, on the back seat or properly on the front seat, and install that child seat properly. Make sure that it's secure, because there is nothing on earth that is going to stop that child from going through the rearview mirror. And as Gordon said, you know, sometimes that child is going to smack against the front windscreen, but many times you see the child actually goes projectiles through that windscreen.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly sad because, you know, many times, as I said, parents are buckled in and they will walk away from that crash, but their babies won't and their children won't. So it's very sad that these things happen. And I agree again with Gordon, you know, very often, you know, you want to have conversations with these parents and say you need to not do that. But, you know, you get told off or sometimes you even get sworn at.
Mm-hmm.
That is where we feel that traffic law enforcement really needs to play a bigger role in South Africa.
We're talking to Leighton Beard of the Automobile Association, and there are just so many examples streaming in of people's own experiences. And I will be reading some of these messages out because I think every one of them has a valuable lesson contained in it. But one interesting recurring theme here, Leighton, people commenting, it's not only children and babies. What about pets? How often have you driven around seeing an unrestrained dog in the car? Same physics applied.
Yeah.
A small dog at speed, do the multiplication, it becomes a large, heavy projectile. Not so.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, if you are going to be traveling with an animal or a pet, a cat or a dog in your vehicle, you certainly need to find a way to keep that animal restrained. Either put them in a traveling a cage, you know, perhaps keep them in the boot of the vehicle, which is also not ideal. But you've got to find a way to keep that animal strapped in, especially if you're traveling on a long distance. For shorter distances, it does become a little bit trickier, especially if you've got very large animals.
Mm.
You know, how exactly do you restrain that animal? You could put a harness on them, make sure that, you know, that harness is going to pull the body, not the neck area. Make sure that they're comfortable and that you can in some way keep them locked to wherever they are sitting in that vehicle. It does become tricky. But there are many resources on the internet, Pippa, that people can go to find out information of exactly how they can travel safely with their pets. But certainly do not travel with Nigel sitting on your front lap while you're driving, even if it is in the city and you think that you're just driving at 60 or 70 k's an hour, because that dog is going to also become a projectile. And importantly, it could be very, very dangerous for you as the driver if you are involved in a crash, because that projectile could actually be heading your way.
Absolutely. And again, I want to say, if you've never seen, by the way, if you've never seen footage of a crash test simulation, it is really worth going on to YouTube, etc., to find one and have a look, because you will have your eyes opened not only to the speed at which the child-shaped dummy moves through the car, but to things like the impact on the feet, you know, sort of rebounding back into the knees if your feet are in the wrong position and you hit something and you know, your feet are sort of driven into the seat in front of you. All these kinds of physical reactions that follow so rapidly that you just do not have time to respond to them in the moment. moment. It really is sobering stuff. Leighton, of course, the big question, as Patricia and others have pointed out on our WhatsApp line, public transport is another thing. We can control what happens in our own car and be vigilant about using our car seat for our kids when needed. But what about public transport? What are the regulations? What does the law say in South Africa? What does it require of a taxi or a bus, for example?
Yeah, great question. Let me just preface it by saying if anybody wants to look at a crash test, there are several on our website, on aa.co.za, obviously of the vehicles available locally that we have crash tests, and the videos are all up there, and you will see exactly what happens in that environment, and you can also see what happens from inside the vehicle. So very good. So the law says that if you have a child that is younger than three, they need to be in a child restraint system. So obviously we're very happy that that government has acknowledged the need for a law around this. The problem with that is, of course, is that I'm 6 foot four and I weigh 115 kilograms. I'm taking about 20 off there for good behavior. but my babies, when my boys were 3 years old, they were very big boys. So we would prefer to see a law that revolves around height and weight instead of around age. But if your child is small, obviously they need to be in a child restraint, and there are various of those available. Public transport is a huge problem. So public transport for adults needs to be safe, reliable, affordable, and all of these things that are good around public transport. And we find that there is a problem just catering for that need. We find as well that many people who have babies, maybe in a carry bag, in one of those, you know, baby carriers, prefer not to use them because they get charged extra when they go on public transport, which becomes a problem. But they should actually have space available that they can put those child restraints in public transport to make them safe to travel. It does become problematic, especially when you look at buses and taxis, minibus taxis, because there isn't really space available for them to do that. We would like to see, obviously, that changed, but for the moment, all we can do is commiserate and say we acknowledge that it's a problem. It needs to change.
Leighton, we've got a voice note that's come in from one of our listeners. Let's take a quick listen to that.
How serious is the booster seat issue? Because coming from Ireland, where it's like it's really strongly pushed to have your kids in booster seats up to a certain height and that, but here in South Africa, we could hardly find booster seats to buy, never mind find people who use them. And I was just wondering, is it a really bad thing not to have a kid in a booster seat in an accident? It sounds terrible, but anyway, I'm just concerned. Cheers, Paul in Somerset West.
Paul, thank you for that. Leighton, when I heard you say the law requires any child under the age of three to be in a child restraint, and I thought, gosh, mine were in restraints of some kind until about 12, because they were relatively short, so it took a long time to reach the required height to be safe in an adult seatbelt. Do you want to talk a bit about the role of booster seats?
And booster seats have evolved over the years. And, you know, when you go to the test facility in Munich, you see very many of them, and some of them you actually had to blow up. They're like balloons, and they're obviously not effective at all. If the seatbelt does not go properly across the chest of the occupant in that seat, you could be looking at problems. And the reason is that when that seatbelt is activated, in other words, you know, when it's engaged at that speed, and I'm actually doing it in my car right now, if it's going across the neck area, it could create quite a lot of problems, especially in a young child, who hasn't fully developed yet. So bones are brittle, and it could create quite a lot of problems. Obviously, in an adult, you know, when you're in a crash and your seatbelt engages, you might walk away with quite a lot of bruising, but you will walk away from that. In a child, if that seatbelt isn't fitted properly or doesn't sit properly on that child, it may actually cause damage to, you know, things like shoulders and necks, and that is really where the big issue comes in. So a booster seat actually is quite important. There are places that sell them. You do need to do research. You need to go find it if your child is in need of a child seat, in need of a booster seat. Don't not do it. If you are uncomfortable where that seatbelt is going across their body, that is a valid concern. Get something to boost that child so that they can actually be, in line with where the seatbelt needs to go over if they are old enough to wear that seatbelt. Obviously, if they're not, then you need to get yourself a car seat for that child so that they can be properly secured.
and you need to get into the habit of taking the booster seat and the car seat with them. It becomes tricky when they hit school, and I'm thinking of all the school outings and kids piling into cars together to go off to the beach or the zoo or whatever it was. And later, very few parents took along the booster seat and said, you will use this in whichever vehicle you're traveling in. And of course, the kids get self-conscious about it and all of that. You've just got to be bloody minded about it and say it's not negotiable. It's about your safety. And it's easier said than done, obviously arguing with your child, but it's got to be done. Leighton, I mean, several people commenting on how other countries handle this. A very interesting comment from one of our listeners who tells me that in Germany, dogs are required to be in a special harness and attached with a net between the back seat and the front seat. So there is no chance of them becoming a projectile into the front, which is a very interesting one. And then, Alan in Belleville saying, I'm a rep on the road daily. I don't think a single day has gone by without seeing toddlers not properly strapped in, standing on the front or back seat. It just boggles the mind that parents are so oblivious to what could happen. And if nothing else, I hope this conversation reaches a couple of those parents, Alan, and makes them change their mind. The last thing I want to mention, Leighton, is the importance of the seat itself, the right seat for the right phase of life and weight and sort of height of the child being one thing. Even the perfect car seat, perfect for their weight and height, is no good if it hasn't been installed correctly. Not so.
No, 100%. And Alan, just on Alan's point, I mean, I absolutely concur with him. But, you know, and I don't think people are oblivious. I think people are lazy. You know, people don't want to put their kids in car seats. And it may also be a case of many people say that they can't afford the car seats. Well, I think you need to do your research. There are affordable options that are out there. But yes, certainly in terms of the car seat that you need, that you want to buy, you know, just as much as you do your research and your homework in terms of buying the right vehicle for yourself, do that same level of research and homework in terms of buying the right car seat for your child. There are many resources online and that are applicable to the South African market and that are applicable to South African conditions. So you will find what you're looking for. You need to look for that. And again, you know, if you go to the AA website, you know, you may be redirected to the right resources. But you definitely want to get the right car seat. You want to make sure that it's installed properly. Read the instruction manual. Many vehicles have ISOFIX now, which is fantastic, and you can get an ISOFIX car seat as well. So do your research and find the right car seat. And, you know, if you've got the best car seat in the world and you put it front facing on your front seat, it's not going to do any good. It's going to do harm. So understand the car seat, understand where it needs to go, understand how it needs to be installed, and you will obviously have done your homework before that point. And in the event of a crash, you may save your child's life. Just the final point. I mean, I did an interview with a guy a couple of months ago, and he was in a brand new Bucky, and his car rolled, and he was driving his baby home from the hospital, and his child survived because it was in a child seat.
Yeah.
So, you know, let that be a lesson to anybody who has a baby or a child who they are taking, transporting anywhere. Please definitely use them.
Leighton Baird, thank you very, very much for your time and for setting it out so absolutely explicitly for us this afternoon. Really appreciate the input.